This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Listen, it was a good game. It was a fun game. Game had a lot of juice. Here's the problem. The Knicks now know that they could deliver their best shot to a bit of a banged-up Celtics team. Jaylen Brown only played 22 minutes. Kristaps didn't play the entire overtime. And they still couldn't win. So while, again, it was fun, it had some real regular season juice, I actually think it's worse for the Knicks because not only do they know what I just said, but now the Celtics also know, hey, I mean, we didn't even play our best game here. We're a little compromised. They played like it was Game 7 of the Conference Finals, and we still beat them. They can't win the championship. I hate being this guy at 10:03 on the show. They can't win the championship this year. They just can't.
I do feel better. Now, I feel actually the same that I felt all year long about this Knicks team, that I'll take my chances with them. I love their talent. And I wasn't overly concerned. I was a little discouraged by the 0-8 and now 0-9 against the top teams in the league. But last night showed you, I mean, if this were a seven-game series, these type of games happen. It happened with the Sixers a year ago. I mean, it's going to happen in these playoff series. And if that you play that game over 10 times, the Knicks are going to win a couple of those games. Does it mean they're going to beat them 4 out of 7? Maybe not. I mean, the Celtics have proven champions, and their superstars are legitimate superstars. I still question some of the Knicks superstars. Much I love Brunson. Much I love Karl Anthony Towns. Those guys got to prove it in the postseason. You saw them come up small when the Knicks needed them most last night. But the bounce of a ball, I mean, if OG Anunoby hits a three, maybe if Kristaps isn't on fire the way that he is, they can beat the Celtics. I don't look at the Celtics as an unbeatable team, especially when you look at it with the talent that the Knicks have. They're there. They're right there. Are they on that level? No, but they are right there. So seeing that play out last night, even with the loss, as frustrating as it may be, I still feel good about take our chances going into this round. Now, everybody's making it like it's a given in round two. Can we get past round one here?
Well, I've said that for a while. I don't love these matchups, yeah, whether it's the Bucks or the Pistons.
No, I think the Knicks are going to but even for the Celtics, like, let's not just make it. Everybody's assuming.
But they've earned that. Knicks haven't. Like, the Celtics have earned that. Now, again, okay, you could be wrong, but at least the Celtics, they've earned the right of being pushed through the champions.
Understood. I mean, the Knicks have won some first rounds here in the last couple of years, and you see where they're. I'm just saying that everybody was talking about, oh, this is going to be a matchup, you know, if things go according. Yeah, we understand that, but long way to go. And beating the Pistons or the Bucks for the Knicks is not going to be a cakewalk. Even if it's five games, it's still going to be five grueling games. It's the postseason against a good caliber opponent here. So I'm not so sure that it is going to happen. But if it does, I'll take my chances with the Knicks against the Celtics, where last year I didn't think they had a shot in hell to beat the Celtics. Now I feel like they do. Even if it includes a compromised Jaylen Brown, I still think the Knicks have a chance.
Yeah, he was definitely hobbled. There's no doubt. And he didn't play a lot of minutes. I think it's 22, as I said here. So he might have to just. I'm even surprised he played. I mean, you were off yesterday. Me and Sal talked about. Yeah. Me and Hoff talked about this. I was surprised. I'm happy that he did because at least it gives us a sense of what the Knicks look like this deep in the season against the team with all their players, even though they didn't get the full allotment of minutes that they usually do. See, to me, I think that there's there's some obvious differences, and I think when you look at a Tatum, you and I were talking about this before the show, a Tatum versus a Brunson, and we love Jalen. He ain't Tatum. A Tatum versus a Towns, you know, we really like Kat. He ain't Tatum.
But that's,
Tatum's different.
Okay, but
he's
don't
different.
You... So that, to me, is a different layer or different level problem. I don't think the Knicks don't have enough to beat the Celtics. I believe that they can. Now, will they? Again, different story. But if they can't, I don't think it's the head coach's fault. I don't think it's the ancillary player's fault. Although Bridges, I can't stand him. He drives me nuts. I know that he hit a couple of shots, you know, He drives me nuts. If you want to break down the... How do you...
Catch the ball.
Come on.
Yeah, he took his eyes off the ball. Catch it.
I mean, come on. In the biggest spot like that, why? First of all, I wouldn't have him on the floor. That's another thing I think Tibbs needs to adjust if they do play the Celtics.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather have Mitchell Robinson. I want two bigs.
Yeah, I'd like to see them go together a little bit more. I really would.
Because they're totally different.
Towns at the four.
Mitch is actually a defensive player, an impact player. You saw that last night.
Yeah.
And he could rebound the basketball.
Well, think about this. We know, or at least we strongly believe, the Knicks cannot, however you want to frame it, beat the Celtics by going at them how they've conventionally gone at them.
Right.
So maybe the route here, and maybe Tom Thibodeau's just saving this and he's going to, you know, dust it off and deploy it if they get to round two and they play the Celtics, where, you know, you've got Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson playing 20, 22, 23 minutes together. I don't know. Maybe you could push around Cornette. I know he does some good things,
but
you could push him around if you've got those two big bodies out there. I got to tell you, though, I think that the biggest problem against the Celtics, and I love this player because he plays his ass off. You said you want to see Bridges? I don't want to see Josh Hart against the Boston Celtics. When the Celtics have taken and made
one of those.
Oh my God. The Celts have taken and made more threes than anybody in basketball. Now, Kristaps not going to hit eight every night, and one of them was from like 40 feet. That one really late, which was sick. All right, but he's going to bang it a couple, and we know what they do. They have a very high rate of take and make from beyond the arc. That's one of the things they do. I don't know how you can consistently play Josh Hart against the Celtics where he's terrified to take a three. And when he does, by the way, the Celtics are begging him to take it.
Yeah, I know.
And when he does take it, he's terrible as a shooter. It's really 4-on-5 in a series that I think the Celtics could, even though the Knicks are okay defensively, I think the Celtics could score 120 every time they play the Knicks around there, 115, 118, 120, even in the playoffs. I don't know that the Knicks can consistently do that against the Celtics with Josh Hart, who's terrified to take a three.
Fair enough, because he doesn't do enough of either. He's not going to be a great perimeter defender. See, two things have to happen for the Knicks to beat the Celtics 4 out of 7 games.
Tatum's got to get hurt.
Realistically. Well, Brown's already, I mean, he's compromised, so that's part one. But they have to defend the three better, and they have to make the threes. Now, that could be an inconsistent thing. For Boston, it's consistent with them making the big three after big three. I mean, they had him beat, and Tatum hits that, you know, the game-tying shot at
that
the buzzer.
That was a sick shot, man.
Okay, right, but for the Knicks, their guy trying to hit the game winner at the buzzer, Josh Hart, is throwing up a brick. Mm-hmm. And OG Anunoby wasn't good last night from downtown, and Brunson wasn't as efficient as you would need him to be, and Karl Anthony Towns not knocking down the threes. He was playing more of an inside game, which I love, but to match the Celtics, you are going to have to hit more threes, or at least, I shouldn't say match, because you're not going to do it as well as they are, but you got to slow them down a little bit from their three-point shooting and enhance yours a little bit. So I wouldn't, that's why I said I want Mitchell Robinson on the floor.
And Deuce.
Well, I mean, now you're really... I like Deuce, but Mitchell Robinson, to me, is an impact defender even on the perimeter. You're seeing his size.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so why not try then either have him replace Hart or Bridges? Whichever one... Now, maybe you want to say you'd rather have him replace Hart because Hart is not the offensive player that Bridges could be. But Bridges, to me, is just... He's a little pup. I was going to use the... Well... No. I was going to say is, well, you know, we use the term sackometer and all that
stuff. Yeah, sure.
So that's what I was going to say. Like a neutered
saying small sack.
Just sackless.
Oh,
I mean, you made me say it. I didn't want to say it, but come on, dude, with Bridges. Enough.
Yeah, it's a big
moment. He's got that puppy dog eye look. Like,
he doesn't have that fight in his eyes, that gleam. That, you know, Josh Hart does have that look, but Josh Hart has some deficiencies. The crazy thing, we'll get to the calls here, but the crazy thing, and I'm very curious, I can't wait to get these calls and see what the Knicks fan thinks, but I went into that game, I couldn't wait. Like, you know, I've always said, depending on the team, depending on the season, there's probably 8-9 regular season NBA games you've got to really dial into. From the Knicks' perspective this year, it was the Celtics, it was the Cavs, It was the Thunder. It was, you know, not many more, really. Those are about the 10 games you really had to check out. And it hasn't gone well. But I still couldn't wait for last night. I knew the Knicks would play hard. I knew the Knicks would come out ready. I didn't know where the Celtics would be mentally, like how seriously they would take the game. And I went through like this pendulum of emotions. The way Karl Anthony Towns was rocking, certainly in the first quarter and in the second half. I'm like, all right, big boy.
It was a great game. That was a fun game to watch.
It was a lot of fun, but it didn't change my opinion. Yeah, it was fun. It was entertaining, but it didn't change anything I believe about the Knicks or the Celtics or the Knicks' ability to beat the Celtics. But I'm sitting there. I can't wait for the game to start. It starts. Karl Anthony Towns barreling his way to the rim, hitting threes. Like, really a fantastic balance of skill from outside and bully inside. And then the third quarter starts, and the Celtics get a little more focused and a little more serious, and their absolute strengths start to bubble to the surface, and some of the deficiencies, which I pointed out and have have worried me about these Knicks, they came to fruition again. So in a crazy way, despite being overtime, despite really almost winning the game, as I said to start the show, I actually feel worse about the Knicks' ability to beat the Celtics. It was like round 15 for them. It's like the Celtics were sparring 3 months before a fight. It wasn't the same energy. Celtics still won.
Yeah, it's interesting because to me, it validated how I felt about this team, that they have a chance. And watching that game, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like, man, I can't wait for 10 a.m. tomorrow to talk with BT about this game.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that the first half, I'm like, okay, how do you feel now? I wanted to ask you how you felt now.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the result wasn't there. And I don't like people making a big deal about, oh, the Knicks punch back, finally get. They lost the game.
That's so right.
I don't want to hear that part of it. But I do think that was like a playoff game, and they would have lost that game. Okay, fair enough. But in a seven-game series, I think the Knicks are a lot closer than you have been giving them credit for, and that the majority of people. Now, again, they lost.
Now, can we say closer? You mean closer to beating the
Correct.
Celtics and advancing?
Yes.
I don't see it at all this year.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brian is in New City. What's up, Brian? What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud. All right.
Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Oh, I'm the automatic leadoff guy. Now batting leadoff, Adam from South Jersey. What's up, guys?
Yo.
All right, so
I was actually batting out of order. Right. We had a mishap with the leadoff hitter today, Adam, but go ahead.
Actually, in the more prominent two spot, really.
It was an early pinch hit, Sal.
Early
pinch hit. That's all. All right, so listen, BT, in the immortal words of our former quarterback, relax. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Number one, JB is still getting his legs under him, all right? He's not all there yet. He just played a couple of games. Secondly, this is the second game this year, the second that they're all playing together. This is just going to get a little better as it goes. Third, did OG play his best game, shooting game?
Well, that's a problem.
Did Brunson play his best game?
In his best game, no. But I'm not worried about Brunson. I haven't even mentioned Brunson. But I love Jalen. I'm not worried about Jalen Brunson
at
all.
But I do think, to Adam's point, thank you for the call, Adam, that if those guys played their best game, the Knicks could beat the Celtics. They would have beaten the Celtics. And if I were to ask you, BT, who do you think the Knicks – give me the top two best three-point shooters on their team.
I mean, forget about the stats, which I pretty much know. But I'll just look at it this way. Who do I want lining up a clutch three the most?
Yeah.
Brunson for sure. And probably OG from the corner.
Right. And even if you throw in Towns, if I give you the top three. So last night, Brunson wasn't efficient. 5 of 12. All right, whatever.
That's
from downtown.
Fine.
Good. I'd rather him be more efficient and then spread the wealth a little bit. OG 0 for 5, Towns 1 for 3. That cannot happen. One of those two guys has to hit more threes along with Jalen Brunson. I don't think Brunson played his best game, and maybe some of those shots were, you know, not at the most opportune times because the numbers on himself aren't awful.
He put a few up quick.
Yeah,
he did.
So, okay, but still, you got a really good game from Brunson. You need to be able to beat the Celtics, one of those other guys, specifically from downtown. And I'm throwing Josh Hart, who we don't think is a good shooter, but he's 0 for 4. Somebody else has to knock down those threes. Even Deuce, 1 for 4. Not good enough. Bridges, he's another guy who could shoot the three. Nobody's shooting the three well enough last night outside of Brunson, who was okay from downtown. So that, to me, was the issue, where I do think, to Adam's point, there's still room to grow there for where the Knicks could play a better game.
I would feel, yes, there is room to hit that. There's always room to get better and to grow. And obviously, these Knicks haven't played a ton of minutes together, to Adam's point there, which was his second point. I'm not too worried about that. That's why I think next year will be a lot better with another addition that's going to come off the bench, somebody who can snipe a little bit, and they're going to have to change some roles, and they might have a new coach. I mean, Brendan Malone getting fired, you know, he's from here. He went to Seton Hall Prep. His dad coached here.
I still don't think Tibbs is the problem. But you're right, that's a whole nother conversation.
I don't think Tibbs is the problem. I just don't know that he's quite the answer that I hoped he would be. Either way, I don't want to divert the show that way. We didn't talk about Malone being fired, insert that there. But it's not that the Knicks missed, you know, a barrage of wide open shots that I fully expect them to hit. Part of the reason why they missed those shots is because the Celtics, Missoula, and the Celtics defense and their switching and the way they play together, their defense is a problem. Their length is, McBride is small, Brunson's small, Josh Hart is only 6'4", and he can't shoot. I know he plays big, but he's not big and he can't shoot. So I just think it's a bad matchup.
Do you think that Porzingis will go 8 of 13?
Of course not.
Okay, and do you think Obi would go 0 for 5 from downtown?
No, I don't. What did Jalen Brown shoot? He only played 22 minutes.
He's hurt. I mean, that's the reality of their situation right now is Jalen Brown is compromised, which makes them a little more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Let's just go based off of right now. And the Knicks are getting healthier and starting to gel at the perfect time, as opposed to last year when everything, when the wheels were falling off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Randall, we know him being banged up. And then in the postseason, it was like one guy dropping after
Robinson with the Embiid foul.
Even Brunson
was banged up.
Right. So now it feels like, and again, you know, a lot could change in a week or 2 weeks, but right now they are whole and they're starting to play together as a unit as well as they've played all year. I'm not going based off of, whoa, they punched back against us. They lost the game, but if you watch it, and we did, you had to feel at least a little more hopeful about, okay, in a 7-game series, if they turn it up a little bit more and play a little bit better, and maybe Porzingis doesn't catch fire, they have a chance to beat this team.
Well, this came up between you and I the other day, and I did say, I made this slight concession. I said, I'm as hopeful as I've been all year with the Knicks because of the reasons that you just stated, without me restating them. Yep, I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident, like, at all. Like, and a matter of fact, I don't think they would win. Like, you can be hopeful, and again, think about the word hopeful, two syllables derived from the word hope. I hope. That's different than belief and conviction. I have no conviction that the Knicks are going to go far.
Okay,
I just don't.
And maybe our biggest difference is off of last night, because you're saying you're more discouraged after last night than encouraged.
Yeah, because the Knicks came out and they gave it their A-plus effort. They still lost. The Celtics were like a C-plus effort. They still won the Garden.
See, that's where I disagree. I don't think the Knicks gave an A-plus. I mean, effort. Sure.
I'm talking about effort, okay, not execution.
But they're still... If the Knicks played their A-plus game and still didn't win, I'd be with you and be like, wave the white flag. They can't beat this team even at their best. The Knicks weren't at their best last night. And Boston, to the contrary, even without Brown, because Porzingis was on fire, that's not going to be the norm. Tatum's going to hit big shots. That's what he does. Porzingis is not going to go 8 of 13. Now, he is a great shooter. He's the guy I wanted the Knicks to get a couple of years ago.
So did I.
They
I wanted to bring,
big,
I wanted to bring
he's
back.
The, he's the guy. He was the perfect fit. Now, of course, the world champion Celtics go out and get him, which makes them even tougher. But I don't think that's going to be the norm. It's just not human to shoot 8 of 13 the way that he did, doing it with the shots that he did.
So I agree.
I think the Celtics, again, playing their A game, I wouldn't say that either, but they played a terrific game with really ridiculous hot shooting from beyond the arc, which is somewhat their norm, but I think the Knicks have room to grow, which is why I'm not giving up hope.
I love it, and I wish that I could really truly, I mean, I hear you. Yeah. I wish I could subscribe to that. I can't, because the evidence is not in front of me this year. Now, I could also quickly volley back and say, I got you. You know, Porzingis isn't going for 8 for 13. Again, the reasons that you just stated, but then I could also say, well, of all the games against the Cavaliers and the Celtics and the Thunder this year, how many times has Karl Anthony Towns looked that good in the first half? The answer might be none.
Right.
So that might be an anomaly as well, which might not go favorably for the Knicks next time they play.
These regular season games against crappy teams that the Knicks are winning by 20, or it's like, whatever. I know you get into it. It's part of the story of the season, which is fun, but last night there was some real juice in the building. Look at all the celebrities who were there. I mean, that felt like a playoff game last night. The back and forth.
National TV.
Terrific game. National TV, all of it. Terrific game. Felt like a playoff game. Boston, New York. I want more of that. I really can't wait to get even into the first round. I'll be into the first round with the Knicks. You know that.
Because
we were doing the same thing last year with the Sixers. The one negative, and you touched on this earlier. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. It's not even a negative, it's just a reality. And I kind of went through this for years as a Falcons fan with Matt Ryan, who, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer, terrific quarterback. But even at his peak, he still was never Rodgers or Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He got beat by Breeze. I still love him more than Breeze. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there were certain times, or Eli in the clutch, there were certain times where you just realize that, okay, he's our star,
mm-hmm.
but the other stars are better. You can even go back to Jordan and Karl Malone and Barkley and Ewing, superstars, obviously, all-time great players. They couldn't beat Jordan. And I'm not saying Tatum is Jordan, but the Celtics stars are better than the Knicks stars. And that, to me, doesn't mean that they can't beat him. But if they don't beat him, I think that's going to be a big part of it, that Karl Anthony Towns and Brunson, while they are our superstars, they're not as good as the other team's superstars.
I agree. I do agree with that. I also think the other coach is better, too.
Yeah.
He's good, really, man. I mean, to me, you know, I'll take it a little bit of a different direction. And it's I was so pumped for the game, as I said at the start. And there was the juice was real. It just felt like it's almost go time here, right? And I think the thing that's a little frustrating for me is that for 20 years, we've craved seasons like this.
Yeah, I know.
And that's why I've been kind of, to be totally honest with everybody, disappointed with myself this year. Really. That I felt what I felt so early in the season. But I've got to communicate what I feel. And I didn't feel great about the early look to this team. And last night actually made it worse.
But don't you think seeing Mitch being back, and the board hound that he is, and the defensive intensity, he's an impact defensive player that already changes the feel when you watch this team. They played hard for the most part last night. And early on, there was a loose ball play that they didn't get to. I was like, that's disgusting and pathetic, and that turns me off to this team. But they turned it up for the most part last night, and were there. I don't have really many issues other than that. It wasn't like, lack of effort. Oh, that was embarrassing. Hey, they missed some shots, which you hope wouldn't happen with Anunoby being as bad.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns was a beast down low, but you'd like a little more of him hitting the three ball, and maybe Brunson a little more clutch from downtown, or if not hard having one. But I didn't look at it as saying, well, they really got outplayed. They really can't compete with this team. I thought it was a hard fought, very competitive game, good intensity. They just got beat by a team who was better last night.
Champions. No, I get that. Don't you think it's kind of odd? Just generally, when you have a good season, we could actually say the Knicks had a really good season last year.
Yeah.
Okay. And you win 50 for the first time in a while. You win a round against a talented Sixers team. And then the injuries get hit. And I think we all think they would have beaten the Pacers. And then, of course, lost the next round. But the template was set. And the wheels were in motion for the Knicks to slowly ascend and be in that championship conversation for, you know, 2-3 years, maybe 4. I think that's ambitious, but whatever. I'll say 2-3. Some might say 4. So don't you think it's odd that here we are, the first year after the good year, we're already, and again, I do admit that I'm not a negative person. My lack of belief in this team is stronger within that for me than it is for others. I certainly admit that. But I don't think anybody's walking around saying, yo, we're going to win the championship this year, unless you're just a complete delusional fan, which is fine. But if you walk around with an ounce of sensibility and you know the league and you know strengths and deficiencies and all that stuff, I don't know how anybody looks at the Knicks and says, yep, they're beating the Cavs. Yep, they're beating the Celtics. And it shouldn't be like that in year two, when you're supposed to be striving towards a championship.
But why are you saying that? Is it because the 0-9?
I just think the other teams have better players.
Okay, but is it, again, see, here's why I think that you can say that you can walk around and say, now, whether you think they're going to win or not you, I'm talking about in general, everybody, that's irrelevant. Can they win the NBA championship? I don't think that they will, but I think that they can. They have one of the best records in the league. So the only thing that you or others who want to poke holes in, aside from the pedigree of the Celtics, right? Mm-hmm. The Cavs don't have that pedigree.
No,
they have to prove
young.
Themselves in the postseason. The Thunder have to prove themselves in the postseason as well. So outside of the now 0-9 record against those teams, what else is there? And not to make excuses for the Knicks, because you know I'm the last person to make excuses. There is circumstance involved in the 0-9.
And the biggest one would be?
They weren't ever fully healthy until last night. And last night, if they played the Celtics 9 times, they're at least beating them a couple of times. I don't know in a best of 7 if they're going to be able to beat them 4 out of 7. My gut would tell me probably not. Or my gut would tell me probably not. You have to give the Celtics the advantage because Their stars are better, as we said. They have the pedigree. But do I think the Knicks could beat them in the best of seven if they got a little fortunate? And I do. Whereas last year, I did not think their team was good enough to legitimately have a chance to beat the Celtics 4 of 7.
So ironically, as the Knicks got healthy last night, the Celtics were a little compromised here.
Well,
all right. I got you. So, all right, so here's the test for you. I used to do this going back to Tiki. It is my litmus test.
Yeah.
And they set, but I think this is going to actually fail. Usually what I do is I will write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will look at two teams in the NBA, and I will say, all right, let's go in order the best player in the series. Number one, if the Knicks and the Celtics meet, number one would be Tatum. Who's number two for you? Is it Brown? Is it Brunson?
Are they all healthy?
We're going to assume health for all these guys.
I mean, Brown is not healthy right now. I don't know if we could assume that, but in our exercise,
yeah,
I'd probably take Jaylen Brown number two.
Okay. I could push back, but not enough. Then we go Brunson 3.
Yeah.
Now we go, who are you going 4? Cat?
Yeah.
Okay, who are we going 5?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
No,
5, 6, 7, 8.
This is the odd thing. For me, I could go OG. I could make a case. I won't because he doesn't strike me as a playoff dog.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
But I could go Bridges. I could go in some other directions that would slant the needle in favor of the Knicks.
Yeah, but the Celtics players fit better.
That's the stuff. And their two best players, certainly their best player, is just indisputably a lot better than ours.
Well, that's a problem. And you would give the coaching advantage to the Celtics.
No question.
I'm not there yet. I do think that Tibbs has to make adjustments. I think the Knicks have enough. They just have to maximize everybody's game, meaning Hart can't be 0-4. He's not a great shooter, but to beat the Celtics, you're going to need one of those guys you don't expect, either Hart or, let's say, Deuce. You're going to need Mitchell Robinson to play lights-out defense and be a beast on the board. You're going to need good minutes from campaign. Like, to beat them 4 of 7, yep. It's going to take A-plus efforts from everybody 4 out of those 7 games. That's a lot to ask, but I do think that it's better to be in this spot than if you asked me last year. Even if you got A-plus efforts from everybody, mm-hmm. I still don't think, and we'll never know, but I still don't think that they were going to beat the Celtics.
Okay, now that's another aspect here that is very interesting, because I would kind of agree with that to a little bit, enough to keep moving to the next point.
You would have to hope, though, that the...
Now, by the way, Celtics have guys like that, too. We can talk about Josh Hader. Hauser's pretty good.
I know.
I mean, White's pretty good. I mean, they got Cornette did not play great. Like, Cornette's good.
Freaking
and by the
Pritchard.
Way, Cornette was on the Knicks for a minute.
Pritchard drives me
Pritchard's
nuts.
Pritchard's a pain in the ass. He's good. They've got those guys. So, while... If I grant you, just to keep it moving, that the Knicks could have a competitive series if they're healthy in round two against the Celtics, my greater issue is, though... Is what's going to change next year?
Nothing.
That's my point. And I think, and I wish I could get out of my own way and not worry about next year, but it always comes down to fundamentally why I didn't feel great about this team earlier this year. They made their power move.
Right.
Now, they can make a little tweak here and get a sniper, do something off the bench, but this roster is what it is, and I don't think it's a championship roster.
But then that's why I started this conversation by saying... I think if that were the case, it's not going to be on the people who we want to blame. It's going to be on Brunson and Towns eventually just being exposed to not being that level superstar.
Maybe.
To me, that's what I'm not saying they aren't, but that's what's going to be the difference or not. Let's get a couple calls in here, BT. Larry's in New Jersey. What's up, Larry?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. Couple things. The Knicks. Two best players, a point guard and their center. They're very poor defenders. Did you see that play on the inbounds where they forgot to cover?
Yes.
That was a team
thing,
though.
Guard, I think it was Hauser.
Yeah.
But Larry, hold on. Larry, 1 second. That play, that was a very important play, and that was very confounding. I don't think I've seen the Knicks do that all year. That was just an anomaly. They were either looking at the bench or they didn't know the ball was being triggered. Like, that's not what you see from these Knicks ever.
It wasn't really. It wasn't poor defense. It was the Celtics caught them sleeping.
Yes, correct.
Well, yeah, but it was Brunson sleeping because that was Brunson's guy. I watched it a minute later. Brunson was covering that guy, Hauser.
Huh?
Another play was Cat. Cat's guy set a pick at the top of the key. The ball carrier came down. Cat didn't even switch on D.
He got blown by him. Pathetic defense. And thank you for the call, Larry. And in a game like that, you can break it down to possessions. How about either Josh Hart missing shots or Bridges not catching the ball? Like, that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I'd rather him miss the shot by an air ball than not catching the damn ball. So there were little things like that. Yeah, Cat on the perimeter defense there getting picked and not even making an effort to go back. That drives me nuts, which is why I want him and Mitchell
and
Robinson.
Mitch.
Well, I understand that that causes issues offensively. It's a trade that I might be willing to make, though, a trade-off, BT, where I know I'm getting rebounding, I know I'm getting defense, and you get the offense from the other 4 guys on the floor if you have Mitchell Robinson there.
And I think that you're going to see that if it's the Cavs. Like, if the Knicks face the Cavs based on they've got some bigs down there who aren't pups anymore. They've grown up a little bit because the Knicks smacked them around a year ago.
When the Celtics, though, go with Cornette and Porzingis?
And KP? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I advantage athletically. Celtics, 2 bigs right there. Now, Cornette's not jumping out of the gym, but he's far more mobile than either Mitchell Robinson or Karl Anthony Towns, who sometimes looks like he's 50.
I know.
Which
is why I would put Towns on Cornette and put Mitch on Porzingis, because at least Mitch, like, Porzingis is not a blazer to where he's going to go around Mitchell Robinson.
No way,
and Mitch at least have that size on him on the perimeter.
Yep. And bouncier. He's bouncier than Karl Anthony Towns. Get the hand up, you know.
Yeah, Towns can't jump. He got blocked by the freaking rim last night.
Yeah, you're talking about the foul where we thought it was a foul. Then they did the replay. They reviewed it. It was not.
Come on,
he got rejected by the rim there. Now, in Karl Anthony Towns' defense, that was good job by Porzingis, who went right up vertically, did not foul him at all. And there were a couple of challenges that actually went against the Knicks. So, but they got the right calls. That, to me, is... I do think he mistimed his jump a little bit, was kind of falling away. But that's an illumination of his lack of athleticism. Like, there are times, even in the first half when he was balling, there were some moves to the rim where I'm like, God, he almost looks like Ewing when Ewing was 34.
He's a big, lumbering.
Like, it's just not explosive. Yeah. It's not dynamic. Now, a lot of times it's effective, but I hate that my mind does this, but I can't help but look a year, two, 3 years forward, which is why I always say I don't think their championship window's as wide as others.
No, it's now.
I don't think he's going to age very well, Carl Anthony Towns. Hey, it looks like he's 50 sometimes now.
Their window's now. And as a matter of fact, and we'll get back to the calls when we come back, this actually might be their best shot. I know nobody wants to hear that because it doesn't feel like that, but the fact that they're healthy right now at the right time going into the postseason, you don't know what's going to happen next year. There's no guarantees. This might be it. They have three games to go. Everybody's healthy, knock on wood. This might be it. Younger player, next year, like you said, older players, who knows, more banged up. This might be it for the Knicks.
Yesterday, the 4-9 hitters, 0-20 with 6 whiffs, which gets us to today's lineup here as they get ready. A little 1:10 first pitch out in Detroit. Hey, Max Fried, can you stop the bleeding here? Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, Belly. Bellinger's got to get going. Goldschmidt in the 4 spot. Jazz, who's under 200 now. Volpe, Dominguez, Escarra behind the plate. Cabrera third, and Max Fried is on the mound in a very jumbled, as I think many of us thought it would be, very jumbled American League East here. Toronto 7-5, Yanks are 6-5, Boston's 500, Orioles a game under. Kind of very quickly, the Yankees went from looking really, really good to looking very, very average fast.
I think their start has been disappointing here.
I agree.
I heard you with Rodon yesterday. I thought you nailed it. You just can't trust the guy. Now, today, Fried's going to have to step up. He is the ace of the staff. They need a stopper right now. Go out there and win a game, salvage his final game of the series. But they got issues, man. They look a lot like they did last year when they were at their worst. I'm not saying that they're a bad team yet, but they've got some issues. Their pitching is not as good as it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And their offense is, look, it could be better as far as the length of the lineup, but it's still way, way too inconsistent and way too many strikeouts. You can't survive on the all or nothing. Everybody wants to go nuts about what they did against the Brewers. Yeah, that's not a reality. How they looked against the Diamondbacks and now the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. So, again, you don't want to overreact and go nuts. I still think they'll be fine and be a playoff team. But as far as this team being better than it was a year ago, I see a lot of the same. They've been sloppy in the field as well.
That's where I was going.
On the bases.
Yeah, I mean, there's varying versions of they'll be fine. Yeah, I believe they'll be a playoff team. I believe it's going to be close. And I believe this division is going to be close. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this. I just saw this during the break here. Maybe it just happened to be one of those days. But you mentioned Goldschmidt and the Yankees. Or I mentioned Gold. You mentioned the Yankees defense. What in the world is going on? Do they practice defense anymore? Everybody. In a 30-second span on John Boy and some other stuff on Sox during the break, I saw Mike Trout overrun a pop-up in right field. And it looked like a 10-year-old who's not even good. Lourdes Gurriel airmailed one from left field over the third baseman's head that was supposed to go to the catcher that went to the backstop. And then Goldie bobbling that potential 3-6-3 double play. Some other Yankees, even Vientos at third, has been sloppy. I mean, the defense around baseball...
Yeah.
What's going on? Stop practicing. Stop worrying about launch angle and exit velo and take some ground balls.
I'm with you on that. And the one word of advice that I would say, watch the Mets.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding. They've had some issues, too.
Watch the Mets. You guys going to play any good team anytime soon? We knew that they would. That their schedule was pretty favorable.
We could get more on them in a little bit, but on the defense, you see that catch the kid made in center field yesterday?
Yes. Oh, sick.
Now, I don't know why he's playing so shallow, but that is a catch you dream
yep.
of making.
No, there's no doubt.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, dude, Mets look good. Mets look good.
For them, it's a great start. Well, they're not even clicking yet. They're
it's
pitching
early.
Well, but the offense isn't even clicking yet. Wait till Soto gets going.
It's early.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. It's not early for the Knicks. As a matter of fact, we're getting one thing before we get back to the calls, BT, that I want to bring up. Well, did you have an issue? Because I did not. With Tibbs not deciding to foul there before Tatum hit the game-tying three?
I didn't love his explanation. I understand. His explanation was, basically you run the risk of, if the foul is not executed at the proper time, you run the risk of a four-point play. Okay, I mean, how many four-point plays have the Knicks had this year? Larry Johnson, Starks, a couple here and there. But if you're dialed in, and I know that there's an art to, ripping through the foul and getting the call, it's almost too easy to manipulate from an offensive perspective, but I think you've got to have more trust in the IQ of the player to do the foul. But I also believe this, Al. I liken this to being in a casino, right? And I fluctuate on this, even though I haven't been in a casino in a while, right? But when you have a 16 and the dealer has, I don't mean the dealer has a 5 or 6, like, whatever you do, do it all the time. If you start like, well, I'll hit here. No, right. I'm good. You're going to be chasing, you know, your tail all night. So generally, whatever your philosophy is when you have a 16 versus a card where you might have to hit, always do it. Whatever your philosophy is, you know, up 3 with X amount of time to go, always do it.
Right, because he'll miss that shot.
Always do it.
At least half the time, you would think.
Correct.
The only way that I could say it from my perspective, watching the game in real time, it was not a thought in my mind.
Me too.
So I can't then second guess and say, yeah, you should have fouled.
Mm-hmm. That's the easy way out.
The guy's a beast. He hit a shot that a mammoth sack would hit. That's what Tatum is. Mammoth sack. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Allison, East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can I make 2 points about Tibbs before Sal cuts me off and yells at me when I'm off the phone?
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. First of all, you spent your first minute today at 10 o'clock discussing all the different configurations of who you would have had on the floor to give us a better chance at towards the end of the game when it counted, other than what the Knicks had on the floor. Who does that go to? That goes to the coach, okay? I just want to make another point about Tibbs. You're tiptoeing around on him, he'll have to write. What's driving me, another thing that drives me crazy this year is his phrase, his post-game phrase, the game tells you what to do. That's bunk. The best coaches use their strategy to dictate the game to the other team. He's a great assistant coach. He'll never win a title. The Knicks window is closing, as you said, for a couple of reasons. Some players are getting older, this and that, and they don't have their draft picks. He's not the coach. Stop tiptoeing around. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he's been consistent. And I'll be honest with you.
What you're saying? He's
called the middays for years, and he has said this for years. And quite frankly, I pushed back pretty aggressively for a while. I thought he was a little bit unfair to Tom Thibodeau. I don't think he's unfair anymore. I share the same opinion. Yeah, I don't think he's a championship coach.
See, to me, he hasn't been a championship coach yet. But I don't think that Andy Reid wasn't a Super Bowl winning head coach until he was, and now all of a sudden he's one of the great head coaches ever. Look at what Tibbs has done with this team. Find the better coach in Knicks history than Tom Thibodeau.
Pat Riley.
Yeah, what he did before he got here.
Ben Gundy. Red Holtzman.
Why? Van Gundy never won a championship with the Knicks.
Who would you rather have coach in a big game? Jeff Van Gundy or Tom Thibodeau? I'll take Van Gundy.
I think Tibbs is an extension of Van Gundy. And I would argue that Tibbs has done more with less than Jeff Van Gundy. Now, I'm not saying Tibbs is the greatest thing ever. What I'm saying is, do I need to tell Knicks fans? Do I need to remind them the history of the pathetic coaches you've had in here for the last 20 years? I mean, since Van Gundy left? Think about how bad it's been. Now, you're right. That doesn't mean that Tibbs is great, but also look at what Tibbs did. He took a team that was expected to win 15 to 20 games and got them to be the 4 seed with Julius Randle, a player who nobody respected or cared about. Mm. He turned him into a star player. He built this thing up. Maybe there will become a point, whether it's this postseason, whether it's next year, where they feel like they have to fire one more salvo to try to get them over the hump. I think this Knicks team is a product of Tom Thibodeau and his coaching.
So, I get that, but I also think there's some circumstances, and not to really weigh it down now, but the Knicks played their asses off during COVID. Was the NBA really dialed in? And I hate to even say that because...
Okay, but forget that year, then look at all the other ones.
But that's the starting point. That's one of the things that you referenced, so I'm just responding to that.
But they still play
harder. And I've lauded him for that. I think that he is a great culture builder. Like, if Tom Thibodeau was a college coach, he's the kind of guy that could go to a team, like, say, Seton Hall, who's really down. I'm not trying to move Cheyenne Holloway. I like Holloway a lot. But, like, you go to a program like that, provided you got NIL money, and like within a year or two, you're pretty competitive, and you might be ranked, you might get in the dance. Like, but do you ever get to the Final Four? I don't think so. I just don't think he's that guy. And the other thing too is when we say that he's doing more with less, well, I would also disagree with that. Karl Anthony Towns is a top 5 center. Jalen Brown's is a top 5 point guard. How much do you need?
Yeah.
I mean, OG Anunoby is a top 5 wing 3-and-D guy.
Well, let's see what happens. I mean, they won 50 games again with all these guys being hurt. So we'll see. And just to finish up the point about Alex, who was saying that good coaches don't let the game decide what they are, do you think Rick Pitino's a good coach?
He's a great coach.
Okay.
I think he's the best ever in the history of college basketball.
And the final game dictated what? RJ Lewis having to go to the bench.
But not everybody agrees. But not everybody agrees with that. Some people say you should have, you know, ridden the guy who got you there.
Okay, but so what? I personally am going to side with Pitino.
So am I. Just as like, I said that next day.
Okay, just like I'm going to side with Tibbs when he says the game is going to dictate. You have to understand what he means. That when you're watching the game play out the way it is, certain players have it that night. Certain on the other side, on your side, and then dictate who's going to be on. It can't just be these are my five guys that I'm closing out no matter what.
I know it's not apples to apples, but when I look at Rick Pitino, I know they didn't play well against Calipari. I get that. And you and I had that debate, with Rick, whatever. I think every time the St. John's team takes the court, I believe they've got an advantage at head coach. I never think that. I don't want to say I never think that about the Knicks. But like when you're talking about the elite of the elite, I don't feel that with Tom Thibodeau.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.